to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody is Fukushima irradiated and has a part-time job by government mandate as a incandescent light bulb. My very special guest today is a little bit more switched on than most. And I mean that figuratively as well as literally. And she's a very lovely lady, and I've only just met her, but I like her a lot already. Her name is Wendy Adams from Light Waves Radio Inner Circle. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinnie. I'm happy to be here.
Well, for those who don't know who you are and what have you, just let us know who you are and what it is you do.
Okay. Well, my name is Wendy Adams, and I live in the United States. I grew up on the East Coast, pretty much had a normal life. Aside from an early age, I realized that I could actually communicate with the dead, and I'm a bit of a psychic as well, an empath, and I've always been really fond of being a truth seeker and kind of stayed in the background up until just recently. I kind of just decided to come out and really do it actively, but I have been doing it for years.
So as opposed to being a New World Order serving psych-opath, you're a New World Order fighting psych-empath.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And there's really, as far as like the New World Order goes, I mean, what they've already done has been done. People are saying that if we can just awaken everyone, that we can change everything. The way that I see it is it's too late to change what's already been done. We can't change the past. What we can do is we can change the future. And I'm a big believer that we really need to all intuitively come together as one and work as one so that we can get through all the changes that we are going to be experiencing in the near future.
Well, past, present, and future I see as one together at times. Like, you're living in the present, and everything that you do today affects tomorrow, which is your future. And everything that you do today can be determined if you know enough about your past, right?
Yes, so exactly.
If you know what has happened, it's a good indication of what will continue to happen, essentially.
Oh, exactly. And I didn't mean that you shouldn't be aware of what has happened. I just meant that you need to have the knowledge and you need to use that knowledge and understand that that's got us to the point where we're at now. And now we need to look towards the future and take it from here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the present moment I feel is the most important, because the past is something that we cannot relive, cannot change, and the future is something we'll never see, because by the time we get there, it's not the future anymore, it becomes the present, isn't it?
Exactly. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And your personal mission in life, what actually did you have some particular form of experience that woke you up to the whole New World Order system, or had you been aware of it your whole life?
I actually had been aware of it my whole life. Going way, way back, I'll take you way back, just as early as first grade is when I kind of realized I was different from everyone else. And I had an experience that was very memorable to me. I had a best friend in the first grade, and her name was Renee, and she died. I remember it being a Friday, and everything was fine. I said goodbye to her. Everything was wonderful. Over the weekend, she was just at home playing on her swing set, and she fell and hit her head right on her temple. Her parents rushed her to the hospital. They were told it's just a little mild concussion. Don't worry. Take her home and let her rest. Everything will be fine. But she wasn't fine. She actually had internal bleeding, and she passed away in her sleep. Then on Monday morning is when we all found out about it. I went into school, and I had to go to Catholic school. And the teacher I had was a nun, and she told everybody, Renee's gone to heaven. She'll never be back. And I'm sitting here really confused because I'm talking to her. She's sitting at her desk. And at that very moment, I mean, she's asking me, why can't anybody see me? Everybody's crying. My mommy and daddy are so sad. No one will talk to me. And I was like, well, raise your hand. And so she was raising her hand, trying to get the teacher's attention, and she wouldn't answer her. And so I raised my hand. And I said, you know, sister, you know, Renee is right here. She's not gone. You know, can't you see her? She's like waving her hand at you, trying to get your attention to answer a question. And I just, in that moment, I will never, ever forget the look on her face. Sister Admiropoulos was her name, and she got this stern look that was just so angry. And she had this wooden four-point pointer stick that she used to point on the blackboard. And she just took it, and she said, you're seeing Renee. And I said, yes, she's right here. And she just hit me over the head with it. And even to this day, I can still hear the crack of the wood hitting on my head. It was just awful ringing in my ears. And she's like, do you still see her, Wendy? And I'm looking, I did. I'm like, yes, I do. And she went ahead and did the same thing, repeated it, hit me over the head. Do you see her now? And I'm looking and I'm like, yes, sister, she's right here. She takes it and she just goes to do it one more time. And I'm like, I don't see a thing, sister. And it was like in that moment, I realized that, you know, here they were telling me, don't lie. You always need to tell the truth. But telling the truth got you hit over the head and got you punished. And I was really confused at that point. And that was when I first realized that I was different from everyone else. I didn't know that everyone else didn't see her there. I truly thought they could see her just like I did.
Yeah, that's amazing. How old were you?
I was about 5.
Mm. Oh, it's a traumatic experience for somebody as young as 5 to have. And that's something that I think a lot of truthers go through, some form of experience where they recognize that they're being told to tell the truth, but that when they do, they get punished for it.
Yeah, even in current day. I mean, people who are speaking out and stuff are being penalized or having things happen mysteriously, you know, audits occur or there's lawsuits that seem to come out of nowhere that hit them. There's always some kind of a you know, retribution that comes from being someone that does speak out. And it is hard for us.
Well, it is, but I think the good thing to take away from it is, no matter the fact that you go through those hard experiences, they harden you and they allow you to go through even harsher experiences. And basically, we're still here, aren't we? Doesn't matter how bad stuff has been in the past. I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. I'm still thinking.
Exactly. And, you know, and I really, really believe that if we just keep continuing on what we're doing, and if more of us can join forces as one, it's going to be the answer. That's really what I wholeheartedly, intuitively believe.
Yeah, yeah. It really is the sort of Star Wars Rebel Alliance type thing out there. Everybody got to recognize that we're under the sway of a giant galactic empire.
Exactly.
That has no interest in freedom of any kind and essentially sees everybody as more or less a threat to their dominance. And I was just kind of wondering, what benefit does dominance have if nobody's actually really on your side?
That's true.
We all kind of overreach a lot where we quest for things. And I think it's basically... I said it many times and probably say it many more, but when you get too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself. Like, that's the basic principle that I've come to learn with life, is you can't take yourself too seriously, because all those bad experiences and traumas and what have you that you will have, unless, of course, you live a very, very sheltered life and don't have any challenges or experiences at all.
Yeah, you know, and truthfully, my life was very sheltered. It really was, even with knowing that I still had a very sheltered life.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of explain more. I mean, with your psychic potential, I mean, and your empathic abilities. I mean, how has that really altered your worldview as opposed to the average person?
Oh, it has altered everything. I mean, I stopped watching the news back when I was a teenager because I was like, I could see what was really happening and what they were broadcasting. And I was like, they're not telling the truth. This isn't what happened. It's a waste of time. I can get the information on my own. And I know that we were talking the other night about how you tend to work very smart and you have a lot of people on that do research for you. And we had a lot of audio difficulty, so I couldn't answer your question then. But how it helps me is a lot of the information stuff will intuitively come to me so that I don't have to sit there and spend as much time as someone else would. So it does make things a bit easier at times. However, harder as well, because I can feel a lot of the pain and the emotion that when I do watch something or when I do see it, all the people that were involved, I'll feel that pain and that can affect me traumatically. But it does save me time, so that's a blessing.
I kind of feel that I'm the same, and I'm very empathic by touch, like massage and things like that. The more tense or the more in pain somebody is, I actually feel it through my hands, and it starts to make me hurt. And I keep rubbing until I get it out of it, until I can't take anymore. And by the time I release my hands, they're really hurting, but the other person's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. And one of the things that I do is really concentrate on sending the pain away from you. Some people send it to like a thick kind of lead safe or something where it can be blown up into a harmless vapor. But if you actually send it away after you take it from the person, you yourself won't have to feel the pain. And it took me, a while to learn that. So that would definitely help if you're taking the pain into yourself. Send it away. You have the ability to do that if you have the ability to take it into you. And then you won't have to feel it.
Yeah, and I feel that kind of what I have been doing. I just I don't know. You ever feel like there's something about you that makes pain, darkness, fear, and terror, and everything just sort of melt away? Other people can come to you with all of that, and you can just transmute it into something else.
Yeah, I've been told that I have a really good energy, and that people do. They feel a calming energy. They feel a loving energy that I really care, and that it does give them hope. Talking to me or hearing my voice helps them, and it does tend to be healing. So absolutely, and I think that you do the same. I felt that connection about you from the beginning, that you did have, a little bit of abilities going on, whether you, openly admitted it or not, I knew that you did. And you are very healing, and laughter is an amazing form of healing, and I love that you get people to laugh about the serious subjects while you're still getting them to get the message and to take it, seriously. That's a healing thing in itself. You're a healer.
Well, I wanted to get Patch Adams on the show, but he doesn't do interviews. He doesn't do email. He doesn't do phone calls or anything like that. He only answers letter correspondence and things like that.
Well, you have to write him a letter. Hell, I'll help you write him a letter if you want.
Yeah, sure. but I find sometimes. What happens is, when you put your mind to something, and you keep walking, you keep working every day, and you're not particularly working at that thing, but you're kind of going in a roundabout way, a direction towards it, right? And you find that if you keep working on all the normal good stuff that you do, all those other things that you really want to happen, because of all that other stuff that you do, that person who you wanted to talk to, or you wanted to meet, or you wanted on your show, or something like that, somehow finds you.
Exactly. It does, when things are right, destiny just kind of has a way of opening up the exact doors right when you need it. And I really believe that people come into your life at the exact time when you need them there, whether it's a lesson for you to learn from them or from them to learn from you. You end up finding yourselves in, the same path, and it's for a real important reason.
Yeah, well, there's three types of people that come into your life. Some of them come into your life for a reason, some for a season, and some for a lifetime. And that's what my producers keep telling me, and I think it really is very true. I think it's just basically about learning. Like, how some people talk about the American people, or they talk about mainstream public, etc. They've never met the American people, nor have they met the mainstream public. You know why? Because that doesn't exist. Not a single person is the mainstream public. Okay, it's just an abstraction. It's a thought process, kind of like a forest. There's no such thing as a forest. There's only trees, because you can't touch a forest.
Right.
Nor can you generalize on an entire global population, like the whole world's full of stupid people who are slaves to the New World Order and blah, blah, blah. BS, man. You watch what happens. One chemtrail goes over Auckland. I get four people who I've never met before contacting me or posting videos and them being forwarded to me by listeners and stuff like that. Every time there's a chemtrail, one chemtrail. And it's just like, wow, there's actually people all over this city that I haven't met that I wasn't previously aware of that are just as aware of certain things as I am. And now I'm capable of actually finding them and meeting them. Because I got the radio show and the website and all of that sort of stuff, these people find me too.
Exactly. And,
which brings me to the one of the most important things in being a truther, Wendy, is friendship. I think when we go around, we're searching for information. What we're really searching for is not information, but relations. You know, relationships with people. It's what we want, it's what we need, and it's the only thing that we've really been craving the whole time. We just haven't been hanging around with the right people who basically care about the same things that we do.
Exactly. Now,
that's what I believe that should be on the top priority list for everybody, is keep making new friends, keep being friendly, keep reaching out. Even if you feel like you've got enough, just keep doing it. Like, I feel you can either have greed for money or you can have greed for relationships. I have greed for relationships. I'm greedy. I hoard them, and I work really, really hard to maintain them and forge new ones and stuff like that. And I feel like the richest man on earth. We'll be right back after the break at MiniExpertShow.com with Wendy Adams.
Never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am
Welcome
not credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll
Welcome
say that
back,
I'm incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that you have permission to eject if it's getting too intellectual, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also want to just give a shout out to the listeners. We have, I don't know, according to just the radio streams, people from 24 cities and 6 countries online. So we've got people from the United States and New Zealand and Australia and Norway and Sweden and Canada and Macau. And I was like Googling. It was like, where the hell is Macau? And apparently it's just off the real close to Hong Kong kind of thing in southern China. So we got people picking us up even from the Great Firewall of China. You know, it's fantastic. You know, welcome everybody. This is a very international show. And if you're an activist listening, or you know some activists in your area or of any kind, and you want us to bring them on the show and interview them and put them on YouTube and all of that kind of stuff, this is your platform and your chance. So just send us an email. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/contact.html and you will be able to send me an email. Just send us the emails of the guests that you want on and their websites. You don't really have to explain who they are and what they do, because, you know, I won't have time to research into it. I'll just go ahead and arbitrarily invite them. That's kind of how I roll. And I've been doing this for I think we're coming up nearly on 2 years of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My goodness, how time flies when you're having fun. And there's a shockingly large amount of archives on there, ladies and gentlemen, all available for free. Okay, even the commercial archives that you're supposed to, you know, subscribe for, you can still access those for free if you're clever enough to just find the link on the homepage. It's not that hard. But yeah, $5 a month, ladies and gentlemen. If you're capable of supporting the Vinnie Eastwood Show, be greatly appreciated, because that's a small amount. I think, what did we work out, Wendy? $3.50, $3.80 US?
Yeah, $3.81.
Yeah.
US.
So $3.81 US if you are keen to support the Vinnie Eastwood Show and keep up with the bills and all of that sort of stuff. I kind of think of it, I don't know about business models and how to do all this kind of stuff. Basically, it scares the living hell out of me, namely because most of the business world is dominated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery, and I don't really want to have a part of it. But I know what I do, and me personally, every single day, I'm doing the business regardless. So I don't think we need, like, shareholders or anything like that. Everybody's got a say. people who don't have shares. I'm not even selling shares. It's just donations, man. You know, I got bills to pay. I got food and rent and internet bills, and got heaps of equipment that I need. You know, like green screens, new IMAX. I desperately need a proper camera. I've been coming around with like this little sort of phone sized Kodak little HD thingy for some time. I've done a hell of a lot of work with it, but it doesn't do all that I need it to, basically, and it doesn't let in much light. So if it's dark, you can't see anything at all, even if there's light. So yeah, any donations and all donations are extremely highly appreciated. And if you don't feel like donating or anything to me, don't. But donate to somebody else. Okay. Find somebody who really suits your particular style, people who expose the kind of scumbaggery you want to see exposed, and go ahead and support them, because they need your help just as much as I do. And everybody works really hard on this movement, basically. So there's nary a donation that'll go too far amiss. You know, American Freedom Radio, for example. You know, very, very important work that they do there, giving me a platform and other people platforms, and good, and it's shared out all over the place. We've got listeners all over the world. It's one of the top, I think it's like in the top 50,000 sites in the US or something like that. Getting in the top million is pretty shockingly hard. So, yeah, they're a really good network, and I encourage people to support them too. Sorry, Wendy Adams is my guest. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I just need to kind of make sure I remind everybody that I'm still in kind of dire straits financially and need as much support as can possibly be got. And you've been helping me out with that.
Absolutely. You know, and I really feel like, you know, people do need to understand that, you know, what Vinny does do is for all of us. You know, he's putting platforms out there for us truth seekers so that we can post on. He's making countless numbers of videos. I mean, we really need to take the time to help him out. And I feel like, you know, he's always joking and saying things so humorous and staying true to the humorous spirit of himself that, you know, maybe people aren't taking him seriously, but he really does need your help. So I hope that you guys will reach into your heart and make a donation to Vinny. Do it right now. Come on, $3.81 US dollars. That's less than a tank of gas these days, less than a cup of coffee. And he does more for the US and the truth movement in the US than many truth seekers here in the US are doing currently. So definitely, you know, please support Vinny.
Well, see, most U.S. paychecks for the workers are now less than a full tank of gas these days, aren't they, Wendy?
Exactly. But still, at least if they donate to you, it's going to go to a good cause, and they know that you're going to use it for what you say you're going to use it for. They can trust you.
It gets a heck of a lot more mileage, too. it travels 10,000 miles away. That's a heck of a lot of gas mileage there.
It is.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how far I can go on just a little bit of fuel.
Definitely. You accomplished a lot, Vinny. You really should be proud of yourself.
Yeah. Well, because it's constant, you don't have time to sit around and be proud of yourself. It's kind of like that's momentary. It's like, man, really good show today, or something like that. Or, man, I just got a big... Or, man, I just got a nice, juicy donation. Thank you so much. Instead of being proud of myself, I wind up being grateful to everybody else, right? Because everything that I do for everybody else, and close to 99% of the things that I get, you know, whether that be food or lodging or equipment or anything like that, comes from other people. So I think it's a symbiotic relationship. I need the listeners, and... In many cases, the activists and the listeners need me. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say that I'm needed or anything like that.
Well, you are. I mean, could all your people out there, could you imagine what it would be like if Vinny wasn't here? I mean, we wouldn't have the videos. We wouldn't have the information being spread out there. There wouldn't be a radio show. There wouldn't be the chat room for all of you people who are wonderful in there, by the way, and hi to you all. We wouldn't have everything that you're doing. And I mean, could they just think for a moment, imagine if all of that just stopped. There was just no more Vinny Eastwood. What would they do? I mean, so many people rely on you for the information. They're going to have to try to find another source that they trust, that they know is going to be putting out the accurate information for them. Really, I mean, we need you. The world needs you, Vinny, and you're doing an amazing job. And I really want the donations to come in so that you don't ever have to stop.
Yeah, well, it would be cool. Like, I had this grand scheme, Wendy, that, you know, could buy a house and use that house as sort of like base camp for the Vinny Eastwood Show and Guerrilla Media. So that way I can have, like, spare rooms. I mean, David Wilcock is coming to the coming to New Zealand this weekend and doing a presentation, and he had no advertising whatsoever, and that really offends me. So if you search, I'm going to give him some free advertising right now then. Okay, this is what I do. Okay, I don't ask permission for anybody. I just go ahead and do it. I created the Facebook group for David Wilcock last night. So it's David Wilcock in New Zealand. And there's links on that Facebook group there for you to click on, where you can buy the tickets and have a look at the locations. I mean, it's so funny because I've been wanting to interview him for a long time and been sending emails every now and again. And now what's happening is he's literally down the road from me giving a presentation in a few days, and I only heard about this yesterday because of the huge lack of advertising. Now, if he had been on my show, if I had been able to give him some coverage and all of that kind of stuff, I have a very large New Zealand listening audience who are actually likely to pay the $100 to come to this thing. So, you know, if you are listening to this broadcast live right now, go to Facebook and or go to my timeline and have a look for the David Wilcock in New Zealand Facebook page there. See if you can attend. Normally, I never have to pay to attend anything. Like, I got into David Icke for free. I got into the screening of the third Zeitgeist movie and the second one for free. And in most cases, the only person to actually get into these events for free. It's just because of who I am. Everybody knows I'm a broke-ass mofo and that I've earned it anyway and that you can't pay me for what I will do for you. Like, if you were to try and pay somebody else to do you a professionally produced 2 hours of interviewing or something like that and turn it into a documentary or upload it to YouTube in 1080 HD, you're talking minimum thousands upon thousands of dollars for hiring professional camera equipment, professional cameraman, the hours upon hours of editing and all of that kind of stuff. And I give you that for zero just because you're an activist. It's a good deal.
It sure is. And the week's not over yet. It's not too late to have them on your show.
Yeah. Oh, I am furiously attempting to contact these people. I've got their phone number off of the website. It's a 1-300 number, which I've never seen before. I think it might call something in the US. So I'll ring it from my Skype or something, and I just want to talk to these people and see if I can be there, because it's like 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. Okay, it's a long, long, long series of lectures. Conveniently, I have a 32 gig SD card on my little HD camera, and I will be able to record the entire thing with crystal quality sound, with a little lapel Bluetooth wireless mic that I have. Okay, and I'll bring another. I've got another 32 gig flash drive as well. I'll just pop that into his laptop, take his slides off him, and then I'll spend a week or so editing the video. Imagine from. What was it, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.? How many hours is that? 3 plus 1. About 7 hours. Okay, so probably be an hour break in the middle. So I'll upload in one part a 6-hour presentation. Oh, yeah. I can do that with my YouTube channel. Nobody else in New Zealand can or has done anything like that. There's so many big activists that we've had here who no New Zealanders can ever see because I wasn't invited or I wasn't able to come or something of that nature. It's the service that I do, and I do it for everybody, because it's not just New Zealanders who are going to watch these presentations by these big international activists that come here. It's everybody. So again, please support me. I'm worth it. Okay, I am the L'Oreal of the truth movement. I'm worth it. Or is it Maybelline?
That's L'Oreal.
All right.
You are worth it either way.
Yeah. And I have red cherry lips as well. I was just going to try and segue this a little bit about being psychic and empathic and what have you. It connotes service to others because you're automatically involved in someone's emotions and it doesn't click off. And so what you try and do is you try and help others, not because necessarily you just want to help the others or anything like that. It's because when you help others and they're no longer around you being stressed and upset and anything like that, it helps you to relax.
Oh, it does, definitely. It certainly can be very, very distracting at times. One example, I had just started a new job. I won't say the company, but I've always been in the corporate world, and it's probably one on the list that everyone kind of hates. But I had just started a new job there, and I'm in the second day of the training class, and there was this older woman in the class, and she had just lost her husband, and she was crying like every day in the class and everything. Well, out of the clear blue, you know, a gentleman appears to me who I'm seeing in like a spirit form. He tells me his name. His name, you know, was Len. He tells me that he's this woman's husband, and he wants me to give a message to her. And I don't know this woman from Adam. I've never even talked to the woman, and I'm supposed to go up to her and say, hi, I talk to the dead, and let me give you a message. So I really had a hard time with that. I didn't give him, you know, I didn't go ahead and talk to him and get the message or anything that day. Well, the next morning, I go to start the car to leave for work, and he's sitting in the seats beside me. He's like, oh, I'm just going to make sure that you get the message to her today. He would not leave me alone, just staying right alongside me, distracting me every step of the way. And it's hard to, you know, keep your train of thought when you're trying to talk to friends or family, when you have, you know, people from the other side, like, you know, sitting here jumping up and down and interrupting you. So finally, I'm at the training class, and he's again doing the same thing. So I finally decide, okay, I tell him, you know, Len, I'll go ahead and I'll talk to her. She's going to think I'm absolutely crazy. I'll probably lose this job. That's what I figured would probably happen. All she'd have to do is say one word to HR, and I would have been out the door, I'm sure. But he basically wanted me to give her a message, so she went out into the smoking area. So I went out there, and I started to talk to her. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, you know, I'm seeing an older gentleman here with long white hair. He's about 6'2". He's telling me his name is Len, and he wants me to give a message to you. And she just starts crying, and she runs away from me. I'm like, oh, shit, I've just lost my job. I'm sure of it. And then, do we need to go to a commercial?
We've got about 10 seconds to wrap up your story, if you're quick.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a little longer than that. You want to wait till after?
Okay. In that case, we do have to go. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can also join us in the chat room there with the other fabulous Vinnie Eastwood Show listeners. Make a friend. Make it today. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back.
I'm flying a JFK.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's all about flying into countries and then getting your testicles groped. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And speaking of being very sexy at the airports with the TSA and whatnot, we also have our very special guest, psychic lady Wendy Adams, the empath who wipes out the psychopath. And we wanted to take some callers in the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. So if you'd like to, you know, give us a buzz and what have you, the number is 218-339-8525. If you're calling from overseas, the international calling number is 001-218-339-8525. You can call in using your Skype phones and messages for about 1 cent a minute, or you can, if you're in New Zealand, you can nip down to the local dairy and get a Kia Ora phone card. K-A-I. Oh, you New Zealanders, you know how to spell Kia Ora, bro. just cruise down and get one of them little phone cards, and you can just ring through your landline. It's like 3 cents a minute. Okay. So, yeah, I want to encourage and try and make this show as international as possible, because we've got copious quantities of scumbaggery all over the place, right? And we've got heaps of really good people too, that may or may not have a harsh time dealing with all of this. And I'd like to turn this sort of show into a bit of a counselling session at times, because I think basically we all need it, and we come to realisations through the problems of others. Wendy?
Yeah, we sure do.
Mm.
And then did you want me to carry on with the story that I was telling, or would you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So what happened is this. She actually started to cry and ran away. And I was like thinking at this moment in time, great, she's going right to HR. That's the only thing that came to me. I was glad I was wrong about that. She didn't. She went and got her daughter, who was about my age, who actually worked at the company as well. And she wanted me to tell whatever the message was to both of them together. And so he wanted me to tell them, remember when we were at the lake, what I told you. And the two of them start crying, and I'm thinking, great, I'm in Arizona. There's like not too many lakes around here. There's a few, but you know, it's pretty much desert. And so here I am giving this message, feeling like, okay, I don't know what kind of sense this is going to make to them, but hopefully they'll understand it. And they both start crying and stuff. And apparently her husband was dying from cancer. And they went for a picnic at the lake, and he knew that he was dying, and he let them know that he really felt it was going to happen soon. And he said, if there's any way in the world that I can find to communicate to you to let you know that I'm okay, I'm going to go ahead and find a way to get a message to you. And that was the message that he told them at the lake. And so it was really important to them. And it really, I think it really gave them some comfort in the fact that he did come back and he did get a message to them. So that is one, you know, one of the blessings of being able to do that, is you can bring some comfort to people who are truly grieving and suffering.
Yeah. Do you find that there's a, and you've been this way since what, 5 years old or whatever, when you had your first experience? I mean, do you feel that in general? Do you feel better or worse about the sort of latent energy of people and the other side around you? Do you have a sense of that, like a just an aura of your general surroundings? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse?
Definitely, there is an aura surrounding me at all times. A lot of people, you know, will tune in and feel that energy. As far as getting better, do you mean like in the world, is it getting better? Do you mean I'm not?
Yeah, because you know how truthers are always wanting everybody to wake up and what have you. Well, I think waking up is part of, you know, some of it's informational, some of it's spiritual, and some of it's physical.
Oh, definitely. There have been so many changes within energy this year, and this is something we've talked about many, many times on our shows, and that there have been so many changes happening in 2012 within the energy, and a lot of people out there that do have psychic abilities and stuff are finding those abilities enhanced. They're on like a turbocharged kind of a mode where, like, for example, say in a normal day, you know, you could have, or I could have, I should say, maybe 5 or 6 different visions where all of a sudden I'm having like more than one at once. You know, a lot of things that are occurring to me and to other people out there. And even those who don't have or haven't had experiences with abilities and stuff are all of a sudden having experiences. It seems to be that with the changes in the energy, we're able to tap into our higher selves in a way that we never could before.
Yeah. Well, there's the pineal gland to credit with some of that, I think.
Of course. You know, it's a combination of many things, and I'm not saying that's the only thing that would ever contribute to it. So you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, a lot of people are getting upset out there because they can't feel it, as perhaps you and I do, or maybe rather just not in the middle of it. The wake-up, and it's happening on a number of different playing fields, I think, all simultaneously. Just like the physical elements of the universe, you know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, just think about what kind of equal and opposite reaction comes out of an entire global apparatus conspiracy that currently controls everything.
Exactly. It's massive.
What's the opposite of that? The opposite of conspiracy is everything out in the open, and the opposite of domination is freedom. So the thing that's going to happen here is you're going to have a completely open resistance that want freedom and will get it. And every single day that we march closer toward that goal, that I'm still alive, at least, is a good day for me.
Oh, it definitely is a good day. And there are going to be a lot of people, unfortunately, that, you know, are going to do things in the wrong way. I've seen a lot of people, you know, turning against the government and trying to fight them and to come up in groups and stuff. I just want to say to those people, don't you realize that this New World Order and everything has been going on for decades and that they've thought of every contingency plan? They've got plan A, B, C, and D already set. They've got a plan intact for what's going to happen when the people turn and revolt against them. What we need to do is come up with plan E and have it be an alternate one where it's something that they're not looking to, which is us coming together and working in our own like communities and stuff, being separated from them, completely off the grid and unreliant on them. That's what's going to work.
Yeah. I don't like the whole the idea that some people have, like they'll see videos or listen to radio shows or something like that, and the guests will be saying something very, very positive, like we're about to arrest the bankers, or it's the war's almost over, etc. And instead of people going, awesome, let's push harder, it's like, you know, how Barack Obama got elected and all of the freedom-loving patriots and everything like that suddenly went,
right.
That's gonna be good. And then all of and then you realize, oh my God, I should have been fighting even harder to expose what's going on here because I just got gypped. I think that's what happens. You know, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, as they say. And I haven't heard a peep from that fat lady in my entire life. She ain't. And so, you know, stop waiting around for people to save you. Save your bloody self. Take some responsibility.
Exactly. Pool your resources with like-minded people and save yourself. Don't rely on anyone but you. Even those that are closest to you, unfortunately, you know, it's hard for us to realize this, but I really believe that, you know, before we even came here, there was a mapped out chart as to what we were going to accomplish while we're here, and that we have somewhat free will. If you look at it like the Adjustment Bureau, it's similar to that. You have like path A, B, or C is how I see it. Path A, you may have maybe one little bump along the way, but it's pretty straightforward and it's smooth sailing and it's amazing. And we all know those people that we've seen in our lives, our friends or family, that nothing ever happens. Everything just works for them. It's because they've chosen that path. There's also path B where there's going to be some bumps along the way and it's going to be harder. And then you've got path C that a lot of us truth seekers have chosen along the way that have a lot of bumps and, you know, even some sinkholes along the way, you know, but you're still going to get to that point where you're supposed to be. And I truly believe, and I know that I sound like a broken record here, but coming together and working together as one is the answer.
That's what you call a sinkhole.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's true. You can't accomplish most of the things, basically, that you want to accomplish in your life will never be able to be accomplished exclusively by yourself, you know? There's all these other extra inputs. I'm going to learn a tiny bit from that person, this person. That person might give me a little bit of a hand here or there or at particular stages when I need it. And it just comes to the point where you recognize that there you can't separate yourself from other people in any way, shape, or form. Otherwise, you simply disadvantage and destroy yourself.
You do. And this shouldn't be about a competition ever. In the truth movement, we should all be helping each other. And, you know, and I want to, like, you know, publicly thank you, Vinny, for reaching out to me because you know, you've been amazing. You've reached out to me and you've given me some advice and some tips. And it's something that someone in your position normally wouldn't do, but you do that. And that's what makes you different.
Well, see, what is my position? You know, I'm sitting here in a little underground basement type flat in New Zealand, wearing everything on me and everything that I'm using is donated kind of thing. So I'm kind of this position. It's not surprising that I'll just, you know, talk to you for an hour of my own time and just give you some advice or anything of that nature. It's not surprising at all because it's what I've been doing the whole time. If anything, it's pretty consistent. That's what somebody in my position would always do. And Wendy and I will be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Caller lines are now open. You can ring in 218-339-8525, and we'll be taking your calls after the break. I'd love to hear from some people in the United States as well. 218-339-8525. Give us a bell right now, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Don't you go anywhere. Of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and utter scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts too. And I was thinking, we listened to those Ron Paul commercials over the break, and I was just thinking, they had some news on New Zealand television. I haven't actually corroborated this with any of my American brethren yet, but Mitt Romney has officially won the Republican nomination, and he's going to be running against Obama. Oh, he's the man who can beat Obama. He's going to save us. The guy got, like, what, 20 or 60 million or something like that from only a couple of donors, and because of the US laws and donations and what have you, those donors can be anonymous and can donate unlimited amounts. So if you think that anybody who's getting elected as president of the United States with huge amounts of anonymous donations from incredibly wealthy elite, and you think that they're going to serve the average working people, you're out of your fracking mind. It's just that simple. Okay, they don't care about the Constitution or anything like that. The Founding Fathers never saw that somebody would be doing this, maybe. Maybe they did, and that's why they wrote in restrictions. But those restrictions are gone now. Thank you, thank you. Presidential directives, executive orders, and all the military-industrial complex manipulations. Everything that was once great about America, everything that was once free, everything that was once capable of being a beacon of light and hope to the universe, and everything like that. It was originally started out to be with the 200-plus presidents. And whatever. Oh, come on. Come on, people. Your country needs you. It needs you now more than at any other point in history, okay? More than at the Revolutionary War when they were under the dictate of King George. King George wasn't capable of exterminating everybody in the United States. The current New World Order scumbags and elites that are in control of the whole earth now are capable of doing that. And they are doing it. We're going to go to our first caller now. One of my favourite callers that we get. It's the Greek. Welcome, mate.
Hidey-ho, Vinny.
How are you
doing? It's a sad state of affairs. You know, what government? I don't think there is an American government anymore, or two parties. You know, it's basically being run by people who are very un-American, I think. And it's not in America. And they're not in America. I've been looking at their laws, and basically the United States was shut down in 1871. A D.C. corporation took over, and then they shut that down and moved everything to Puerto Rico. So what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
You know?
And the same thing, I feel like you don't know, you feel no commonality with your nation's founding anymore, that whole freedom and independence thing? Is that feeling even there anymore?
Well, it's kind of like if let's say restaurant or this company X bought McDonald's, and now it's Restaurant X. Is it still McDonald's, or is it Restaurant X if they leave the McDonald's sign up? You see? They left all the frontage up. It's kind of like, you know, the business has changed, but they've left all the windows dressing still up, and everyone's relying on the window dressing and not what's going on inside.
That's an interesting analogy, because if you take that analogy to its logical conclusion, the United States is a corporation that now belongs to some other owner.
Correct, and all of its products and the people are its products now. And you ever notice how people are no longer people? They're either this or that or the other.
Especially if they're found naked eating somebody's face off in Florida.
Okay.
I don't know about you, Greek, but I think I'm going to survive the naked cannibal zombie apocalypse.
I don't know much about that. I have to take your word for it.
Yeah. Some dude was two white guys were naked, found in some small town in Florida, and one of them was eating the other guy's face off. And when the police showed up, and all the screaming and blood and stuff everywhere, right? He was like looking at the police, and he was burning red hot, and he snarled at them like a dog kind of thing, and then lunged after them, and they had to put him down.
Oh, okay. It sounds like it's like the Reavers in that movie Firefly. Yeah, not to promote a movie, but did you ever see that movie Firefly? Cowboys in space kind of thing.
I didn't see the series Firefly, but I saw the movie. They called it Serenity over here.
Yeah, Serenity. Yeah, the Reavers. Yeah.
Like,
oh man, that's sad.
What were they called? Reavers.
Yeah, Reavers. Yeah. They were the cannibals, and they were inflicted by some disease. But you see,
it was inflicted by a chemical compound that was released on a planet called Miranda, and it was part of a Paxil sort of Prozac-ish type derivative that they released into the atmosphere generators in order to calm the population. And it did calm the population. About 99% of the population became very calm and stopped fighting and stopped doing everything else, and they just sat there doing nothing and died. But 1% of the population had a very, very bad reaction to the drug and started to kill people and eat them while they were still alive, and rape their bodies, and then just horrific type terror sort of thing. And isn't that how the pharmaceutical industry now currently operates? They release things into the public supplies, you know, here, you've got mental illness, have this drug, have that drug, and then these people wind up going insane, killing their families and eating people's faces off and nakedly charging at police.
Right. And then, you know, did you notice they never give you the side effects of any of these drugs on the brain?
Well, I think it's because the side effect list is so long that people just don't have the time to read. You know, people don't read anymore, and I can relate to that because I basically don't read, but I listen to people who do.
Oh, okay, great. There's nothing new under the sun, so if you're reading, you just got to remember anything. You have to remember that as well.
Yeah.
It's all over and over, you know. And speaking of the brain, I'll leave you off with this interesting fact. You know, everything is connected. Everything is pretty much the same thing, just a variation of that same thing. If you look at the human body, it's actually an upside-down plant where the brain is the root ball, or the root, the genitalia is the blossom, and the feet and the legs are the leaves and the branches, from an energetic point of view. Very interesting.
That is correct. And well, there's the pollination, and plants need lots of different minerals and nutrients, and they grow best when they have other types of different plants around them, and they actually grow stronger, taller, and bear more fruit when they're not part of a huge mass-produced farm, if they're actually part of a working permaculture ecosystem. So if you, again, to take that analogy to that logical conclusion as well, it means all of us don't work very well when we're homogenous. We all work very well when we're surrounded by a lot of variation around us, and I think that that creates a natural balance. And plants have been measured to have emotions and reactions. There was this scientist who theorized that plants could feel or sense energy fields. And so he'd do things like hold fire to it and then measure the plant's responses in its sap and things like that and its energy. And you notice that when negative things or things like fire or an angry person or something like that enter into the room, the plants pick up on it instantaneously and they start to kind of go into a retreat or a fight or flight sort of plant mode. And it's the exact same thing with us, with negative people or dangers or threats around us. We sort of shut down and kind of go into hibernation mode to a degree, both in the mind and in the heart. So when plants are in the ground, as we are on the ground most of the time, they also return nutrients to the soil as well as getting it back. Now, I think what's happened is, we've all been under that fire and that angry energy for so long that no longer are we able to absorb our nutrients from the things around us, but also we've stopped knowing how to return it. I think I was having a lecture in a hall here when we released the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine here in New Zealand, and you can tell a difference. And this herbalist lady, she was saying that when you go into your garden and you take a plant or anything like that, you're supposed to give something back to help that plant, or you're supposed to say something. You're supposed to say thank you and utter some kind of words or prayer of some kind to it, sort of thing. And apparently it really works. It reminds me of Avatar, how they had such a deep connection with all the plant systems and the roots, with all the energy. It's like a neural network with 10 to the fourth connections, more connections than the human brain, and they were all connected to it. All life lived together basically in harmony, and whenever one of them had to kill each other, whether it was for food or anything like that, they would thank and apologize and say that I understand and I appreciate and I'm going to return you to the earth and give something back. So that way we have a natural feedback loop all around. And I think this applies to every business, every social relationship, and every economic model as well, that same principle. If you're going to take something, make sure you give it back. There's these Indian tribes or something like that. For every one tree they cut down, they would plant three more. It ensures the sustainability. But now we're all just taking, because it's all we know. Everything just keeps getting taken from us, and taxes and all our freedoms get taken off us, all of our liberties, everything. And it's almost imprinted us with that scared
the people
plant mentality.
I think the people have lost their sensibility, and going back to the plants, you know, when they hook up with something akin to an EEG to a plant, and it requires some fine-tuning with micrometers and voltages because all these devices are not really that accurate. But you can get a reading, an emotional reading off of a plant when you approach it with a scissor. The plant will actually exhibit an output that is measurable on a sensitive device like an EEG, for example, right? Now, when you're given a scissor and you walk into the room, you'll see the graph jump around because the plant actually knows you're approaching with a device that could probably hurt it, knowing that you're holding the scissor. But when you walk out of the room and reapproach the plant after a few minutes, there won't be a jump in the EEG anymore. And you ask the instructor, well, why is it not jumping? And he says, well, it knows that you don't mean it.
Wow.
And it knew that you were not going to cut it. See,
you know, cops. You know how cops are standing all over and all over the place, and like airports and stuff like that. They're all carrying MP4 machine guns and stuff like that. When people walk into those airports, they get that same shock reaction to the plant, and then eventually, after they see that guy's walking around back and forth, they get used to it. Is it possible to condition a plant to being perfectly happy with blades and fire and stuff all around it, to be conditioned into accepting it and thinking that it won't hurt it?
Yes, and the interesting thing is, see, plants are one- or two-dimensional because they grow, they never touch themselves like animals do and like we do. So they have an advantage or a disadvantage. If you can condition something like a plant, imagine something more evolved, let's say, or less evolved. You know, I have a saying that the more intelligent the person, the easier they are to brainwash.
That's true, because I think logic is a great way of brainwashing people. You know, like some people, if you expose a logical fallacy in what they're saying to you or something like that, they'll become pretty upset with you and you know, get out of my house. It's pretty sad, really. All right, Wendy, do you have anything to add to this?
You know, a lot of people do believe that in addition to, you know, humans having a soul, that plants have a soul or a spirit energy. And we're just kind of talking here in the chat room briefly. A lot of people do talk to their plants and do believe that. I totally agree with what he's saying. And there are, you know, actual tests that have been done to prove that there are indicators that show when you do come towards them with scissors and stuff like that. So I'm totally in agreement with what he's saying.
So, cool. You know, I think what we've got to understand is that those very things, if you bring anything that can do damage to you into a situation, it automatically has an effect, okay? Kind of like if you walk into a room and you want me to negotiate and you're walking in with a smile on your face and happiness and what have you like that, but you've got the knife behind your back like our politicians will do, you don't feel that there's a threat. You don't react to it until it's too late. If you walk in without a knife, happy and smiling, then that plant really doesn't have any. Then we don't really have anything to worry about whatsoever. The difficulty is, how can we trust that the people who are putting themselves in the position to lead us, you know, Ron Paul or anything like that, aren't concealing a knife of some kind? If the whole room is corrupt and full of weapons, their entire existence, then they may have been conditioned into accepting that you've just got to carry a knife at all times.
Right.
What do we do? You know, there's so much confusion out there, I think. And every time that I've been violent in my life, nothing gets better. It only gets worse. And the politicians don't think about how to make things better. They only think about how to make things worse. And because the only way they can stay employed, you know, politicians stay employed based on problems. So, and because basically the only problems that we really have in society aren't accidental ones, they're all deliberate ones. You know, like everything, if there wasn't such scumbaggery and corruption everywhere, would be sweet. You know, life is actually pretty cool for the most part, except with the huge fuel prices and the poisons everywhere and the propaganda all over the TV and nobody knowing who they are and what they're doing in their lives or anything like that. But, you know, never mind, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you'll figure it out sooner or later. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Wendy is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. FreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live across the world
And we have a very international listening audience. I'm sure there's probably a bunch of expat Kiwis in there tuning in from the Uber Kingdom or Spain or something like that at the moment. And also I wanted to thank all the people who join us in the chat room, Ange and IoT and B-Bray, and of course, Wendy, you've been working away in there in the chat room yourself. So everybody, thank you very much for doing that. And caller lines are open. We've only got two more segments left for today's show. Yes, I know, we should probably have like an extra hour in the show or something because we have so much fun. But yeah, not happening as yet. Maybe later. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Wendy Adams is my guest. Now, Wendy, the question I'd like to ask my guests sort of towards the end of the interview, but in your case, I'll just kind of ask it now because it might take a little longer, but... You know how sometimes we all self-censor a little bit because it might freak people out, some of the things that we know? even amongst the truthers or particularly on radio when you know that anybody could be listening and get the wrong message or something like that, or maybe we like to talk about things but they just don't come up in the conversation regularly, something that particularly maybe we're ashamed of or whatever. So if there is anything of that nature that, I don't know, pops to mind at some point, feel free to talk about it here on this show. It's kind of the only place you really can.
Right, you're like a counselor.
Mm. A counselor with thousands of people listening.
That's right. Don't worry, there's no one that's going to hear. I understand. As far as like any kind of confession thing, I don't have anything like that to share.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, just think on the back burner for a little bit.
Okay.
Now, the back to this Ron Paul thing. It's just, oh man, is anybody else out there kind of depressed about that? That
a lot of people are. A lot of people are depressed about it.
And that's what happens when you put your hope in somebody.
It does.
Your hope can
down.
Be shattered if they're not successful.
Exactly.
Which is why. The key to happiness is extremely low expectations.
Or just not to rely on someone in particular to solve the problems for you. You've got to take it, you know, the initiative amongst yourself. That's where the true answer, the answer lies within yourself, within you. You have the answers to every question that you need to know the answer to. It's within you.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes with self-empowerment. And people mistakenly think that power comes with great responsibility. No, it doesn't, actually. It's actually responsibility gives you power.
It does. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier you were talking about like how, you know, they're like in a position of power to solve the problems and everything. And really, a problem doesn't arise until they've already got the solution to fix it so they can swoop in and then appear as if they're the hero.
Yeah. I likened it to me walking down the street. And said, really foxy-ass babe walking down one side of me, and I want her bad. So what I do is, as I'm walking past her, I kick her legs out from under her and trip her up, and then catch her as she falls. And then she falls instantly in love with me, the man who caught her.
Okay.
You know, it's just that devious. It is just evil and smooth at the same time, kind of like enchanting.
There you go, everyone. Now he's enchanting and fabulous.
Yeah. Enchabulous.
New word. Right up there with scumbaggery?
Yeah. And I don't know, we're going to create a lot of new words. I create a lot of new words all the time. I'm going to need a dictionary. Like, for example, what do you call a Canadian who goes ballistic? Cannibalistic. You know, just little things like that. Or a new definition for monarchy. It's the system of government in Jamaica, hence being ruled by Mon. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm not on top of my game today. It's been lots of late nights and working, getting up archives. In fact, what did I do last night? I think maybe uploaded 4 videos. And did some audio archiving as well, special stuff for the guest yesterday, Ron Van Dyke. man, I put myself out there for other people. Whew.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Okay. And speaking about yourself, Wendy, I mean, let's talk about some of the people you've really helped. I mean, there's the spiritual realm and sort of thing, but what about down here in the, just in the reality realm? I mean, people come to you with problems, whether they're emotional, financial, physical, or anything. What can you do to help them, and what have you been doing?
Oh, I have a lot of people that have come to me and asked for advice or to ask about a situation going on in their life, what's happening. A lot of people want to know about their relationships. It's like, okay, the world's, you know, gone to hell in a handbasket, and let's talk about, you know, this guy. Let me let you know what he thinks of you. But, you know, things like that happen. You know, people will come to me and ask for advice or to do a reading for them. I don't do readings like for people publicly or anything like that. I've always believed it's a gift that I was given and that I'll help anyone that I can, but I'll do it privately for them. So I do offer a lot of suggestions, and I will give readings for people. And it's funny because there's a lot of people that are very skeptical. I recently had a friend of mine get me in touch with a friend of hers, and she said, he really needs your help and everything. And so I'm reaching out to him, taking time from my busy schedule. I'm working like 60 hours a week with the radio station and everything else going on in my life. And so I'm putting myself out there to help this gentleman. And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, Wendy, I'll make time for you tomorrow. And I was like, wow, okay. So I got in touch with him the next day. I still felt the desire to help him. And I did, you know, I let him know what I saw happening for him. And he's like, well, I just don't buy any of this. He's like, this is just not going to happen. I told him I saw a promotion and a raise for him at his job. And he's like, I've been there 12 years. It's not going to happen. There's not even a position, Wendy, that they could promote me to. So I let him know everything that I saw. And come Monday morning, my phone is going crazy. 17 texts from the gentleman. Holy cow, you're amazing. I just walked into work. They opened up a new position, and they've just decided to promote me 30 minutes ago. How did you know this Saturday? Oh, everything else you said, it's already happened. And it is nice when I can, you know, prove the skeptics wrong in a way. I like to do that. But I do like to help people. So, yes, to answer your question.
Indeed. Well, we've had a listener here holding on for exactly 33 seconds. I love that number. Area code 617, and we just need to know your first name and state you're calling from, please.
I'm John. Actually calling from Australia.
All right. What state in Australia, mate?
New South Wales.
Oh, yeah. My godfather, Uncle Chris Finkel's from there. He's the old mining extract. So what can we do for you today, Jim? Thanks for calling in from all the way over there, bro.
Yeah, look, I was just listening to Wendy. I've got a mate. I've been a truther for a little while now. And I've got a mate who's sort of slowly getting into it, but he's getting these freaky things happening to him. And I'm sort of starting to wonder if it's some sort of paranormal activity happening to him, you know?
Yeah, actually it is. I do see that he does have a dark entity that is surrounding him, and he's been doing it just in the last couple of months, right?
Yeah, yeah, just like okay. It really happened to him just recently in a major way.
Honestly, it's connected to the environment that he's living in. I would highly, highly recommend, and I don't know how he would feel about this, but doing a cleansing on the house that he's in, the room especially, right. There is a dark energy there. It's been totally screwing with his life in every way. I can see that. Once he does do that cleansing, he's going to have a lighter feeling over him. He's been feeling really, really heavy. And it's been affecting his whole life. The poor guy, it's been affecting him from every aspect, from when he wakes up till not even being able to sleep. It's affecting everything. Do a cleansing for tell him to do a cleansing, please.
What is a cleansing? I mean, how does one go about doing that, Wendy?
Well, you can purchase sage, and you just burn the sage, and you do a cleansing all around. You ask the spirit to leave, and I've only had to do it, luckily, you know, a couple times myself, but it's very inexpensive to do, and it will make a world of difference. And a lot of people don't realize that that energies and spirits are tied to a place, too. It doesn't even have to be necessarily a house. It could be the land that the house is on. That it could be tied to where there was a traumatic event or where someone passed or just a connection somehow to that location. And his gentleman friend, who's been the truther for a couple of months now, it has been having this affect him in every aspect of his life. So that's why I really, really recommend the cleansing for him, and it will change. It will get better.
Yeah, I hope so. It's freaking him out to the point where he doesn't know where he is at the moment, I think.
Yeah, it's affecting his sleep. It's affecting him eating. He's not himself. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? You can, if he has any questions or if he needs any help, our website for where my show is lightwavesradio.com, and there's an email address for me. And, you know, just write regarding Jim from Vinny's show, and I will be happy to help if he needs any other.
Actually, it's John.
Your name is not, your name's John.
John, sorry, yeah.
Okay, I thought Vinny said Jim. I'm sorry. Just
go to Jim too.
Just for you, John. I will remember you.
You can call me Jim though.
No, I'm sorry.
You can call me anything you want.
I'll be happy.
You're right. All right.
By the way, Vinny,
thank you very much for your call. Do you have anything else you'd like to say? We've got to get to our next caller.
I just wanted to let people know. If they want to call from anywhere around the world, there's a free app called Bobsled for your iPhone or so, you know, sort of thing. And it's free to call the States. That's what I'm using now.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yep. So.
Thank you so much for that. We're definitely going to give that info to American Freedom Radio and see if we can develop a bobsled app for American Freedom Radio so they can just call right in. That'd be choice, I think.
Yep. Excellent.
Good.
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much, John. We're going to go to our caller now. Another J name. It's Joe in LA. How's it going down there in LA?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Somewhat fabulous.
Great.
Awesome. Hey, I just want to let you know that there's nothing to get depressed about because it's not over yet. Ron Paxton has more delegates than the mainstream media would have us acknowledge. He's probably got close to 400 right now. And they haven't been updating Romney's numbers. And so they're trying to lie to people in order to get us to stand down. But we won't know exactly what will happen until the actual Republican convention. And it was the same strategy that was won by Ronald Reagan and a previous president about 100 years ago.
I want to know if it's possible for a real candidate with a people's movement behind him who does technically win at the polls to actually, like for the public to become aware of that and for it to become a reality for everybody. Like at the moment, it's Ron Paul winning. Could be a reality for us because he's got the delegates, he's got the votes and everything like that, but he's completely censored out of the mainstream media who are all saying it's Romney versus Obama. It's Romney versus Obama 1,000 times over for every one time we hear Ron Paul's still there and he's got the delegates. You know what I'm saying? How can we convince the public of this to let Ron Paul be the Republican candidate? I'm not sure if it's possible with a corrupt regime like the United States has at the moment.
Yeah, the author are against them, but I think once they're at the convention, because the Ron Paul supporters are very loud, and when the voting starts, and apparently all the supposed bound delegates by law are not bound at all. So in the first round, if some of Romney's supposed bound delegates that are actually Ron Paul delegates vote for him, and he doesn't win in the first round of votes, and I think it's going to send a shockwave, and then everybody will realize, wait a second, Ron Paul actually does have a chance. I think at the convention, it's going to be a battle royal where there's going to be shenanigans played by establishments. I think Ron Paul's people are going to be there in force to...
You never underestimate, under any circumstances, the power of a small, determined minority to change the course of history, because history proves it's the only group of people who ever have. And so I have faith that there are good patriots out there who are supporters of Ron Paul. I mean, maybe Ron Paul will simply just switch to the Libertarian ticket and he'll wind up splitting the vote between Obama and Romney and actually winning it outright. Imagine that.
Even that, or as an independent, but I think it's going to be something we haven't seen in our lifetime at the GOP convention because he he's already won 11 states. And that's the thing that a lot of the media is not telling everybody. He's won Maine. He's won Colorado. He even won Massachusetts, and they're trying to take his delegates away. He won Nevada, and now Romney's people are creating what's called a shadow party there because they didn't like what happened there, which they're playing shenanigans every time they can. But he's actually winning all these states, so I think we're going to get him.
Well, I think desperate times call for desperate measures, and what we're seeing now is a desperate attempt by the establishment to censor Ron Paul and get him out of the race before he wins it, okay? So I say that the time to strike is now, that while the iron is hot, while the motivation is there, while the means are available, let's strike now, let's support Ron Paul and see if we can turn this puppy around. We'll be right back after the break. Show broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room if you can. A great piece of news here. I was talking about that that system of government they got there in Jamaica, the monarchy. There is somebody tuning in from Jamaica as we speak on the map there at American Freedom Radio. Welcome, bro. Call in if you want to, 1-833-985-25. We've still got Joe in LA on the phone here. Joe, anything else to on your mind, mate?
No, I'd like to ask the young lady. I have an uncle who's actually been incommunicado for about 2 years now, and I was wondering if she had any insights as to what's happening with him.
And I'm sorry, you were breaking up.
He's got an uncle that's been incommunicado for about 2 years. It's what happens when avocados won't communicate with you.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
No, I do. I see him. I do see him there being unable to communicate. He's still actually right there in his mind, though. Everything's still working in his mind as well, though. He just is unable to communicate. I don't see that he's going to be able to communicate. I think it's permanent the way that he is right now, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I've been checking, trying to find out. He went to Illinois a few years back, and he usually contacts my grandma. Once a month or within a few months, and I'm just I try to keep positive, but I kind of think that something might have happened to him, and he did some stuff. I guess that he made a couple of enemies.
Yeah, he did. Something's been done to affect with his brain is what I'm getting. There is like a disconnect there. He's still in there and somewhat aware. He just can't communicate at all with you.
Okay,
and
I appreciate it. I used to believe in psychic abilities when I was younger, but sometimes I've seen a lot of documentaries and a lot of TV shows where they have psychics on there, and some of the stuff is really amazing, but I really appreciate you guys' time. And, yeah, hang in there, Vinny, because it's not over till it's over as far as the whole Ron Paul delegate chase. He's actually nipping, he's probably just a couple hundred behind Romney in actual delegates, so the battle royal will be the GOP convention.
When is that?
That's in August.
Okay. It's still a couple of months away. I mean, it's just I look forward to a 6 months from now and hearing the news that a new president has been elected. And you know what's the problem? Is that I feel like I'm being played into that whole mind trick of, anybody's going to be better than Obama. Oh, God. It just goes to show you, man, naivety. It takes a long time to let it go.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, he's got millions of college kids who are behind him now, and he has single-handedly grown the Patriot movement in the United States of America a thousandfold. So that's where the hope comes in, that the next generation and the next people, trying out for government, are going to be going into with his philosophy. So, I'm keeping hopeful. Even if we don't win, I think it's going to send the establishment a message that we're not going to let this country fall the way they want it to fall. So I really appreciate you guys' time.
I say stay hopeful, but don't put your hope and everything back in the one person. I mean, Ron Paul's kind of like the center of it at the moment, and there's some leaders in the truth movement who are the centers of it as well. And I don't think I'm at the really center of anything. Like, I'm too small at this point. I haven't been doing it for 15, 20, 30 odd years like some people have. But I think everybody needs to contribute as much as they can, and we'll be able to pull something off, man. You know, even if it looks really impossible, we can still get something done.
Oh, absolutely. He's not the end all. He's just one of the messengers. And I don't put all my apples in the cart, but he is an inspirational person. He's inspired a lot of people to get off their butt, so... I don't believe he's going to be the savior of the country, but the fact that he's gotten this far with this much attention is definitely a positive for not only this country but the world, because he has fans all over the world. So, anyways,
One of the ways I find of measuring your victory is finding out how much of an effort your enemy has to make in order to survive you. And they're making one hell of an effort to censor out Ron Paul, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a good point, because if Romney already won, why is he trying to pull shenanigans in Nevada and Massachusetts? If he's already the winner, he wouldn't have to pull off shenanigans. So, and I've seen Romney's crowd, he gets maybe 200-300 people, as opposed to Ron Paul gets 5,000-6,000 people. So that's the reality that we're facing here.
Well, you know what? That's the difference between the amount of Ron Paul supporters who are actually willing to do the business versus the amount of Mitt Romney supporters who think that voting on a one piece of paper or a dye bulb vote-taking machine once every 4 years is more than enough patriotism for them.
Exactly.
Useless suckers, man. The thing is, I've got to talk to mainstream Republicans. I mean, if such a creature exists, you know, if you don't vote for Ron Paul... If you do actually support Mitt Romney, in fact, even if you're still thinking that Republican and Democrat are real parties anymore and they're not just the elite control mechanism leaned up against each other like two sides of a lean-to shelter so that you can huddle inside while the world goes to hell around you, don't do that anymore, okay? It is too late. It's a fallacy. Your country needs you now. Really. It really does need you now. For goodness sake. This could be the last election that you'd ever get to participate in whatsoever. And you think maybe one piece of paper is going to make the difference? Hell no. Hell no. You have to be out there all the time. You have to be campaigning and going hardcore, man.
Can you get that?
All right? The energy has to get up, okay? I'm sick of all this bloody depression just going, oh, I hope Ron Paul wins, blah, 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 blah. Frack hope, okay? That was what Obama's bloody campaign pledge was, okay? Let's not talk about hope. Let's talk about bloody reality. Because that's what Ron Paul, I think, has come to represent for American politics. The return to bloody reality. I'm sorry, but we have to cut $1 trillion from the budget. I'm sorry, but we have to get all those lobbyists out. I'm sorry, but all the New World Order NAFTA and GATT trade agreements have to be overturned. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hardcore. But just like Iceland, the United States will pull through very, very, very quickly. And people don't want anybody to know about Iceland these days. And what's funny, ever since I heard about this censored Iceland story, it has gotten randomly, some way or another, either an email sent to me or a caller into the show or a guest on the show or even me myself finding myself talking about Iceland. This is the chance that America has to get rid of the bankster elite. Don't fumble the bloody ball, not when you're this close to the goalpost in touchdown mode, man. You know, don't get
Iceland is the model for the world to follow. All these countries are basically been hijacked by the bankers. So it's going to be interesting the next couple of years to see what happens. But, Iceland, they're actually, they got it right. They got it right, so we'll see what happens. Anyways, Vinny, I want to thank you and your guest. I forget her name, but it's a great show.
Hey, Joe, if you want more info about your uncle, email me on lightwavesradio.com, okay?
Okay, what's your email?
Wendy. The email is lightwavesradio@gmail.com. There's a few more things I need to tell you.
Gmail.com. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, time to get back to work, AJ. All right, Wendy, we've come to the end of the show as well, and if there's anything you'd like to say, like just give out your website again, and maybe I don't know, offer some kind of inspiring words to leave off with, go for your life.
Okay, thank you, Vinny. Our website is lightwavesradio.com, and our show is on Sunday nights, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, and the show is called Inner Circle.
Yeah, and also had comments in here earlier on in the room. Wendy has a very sexy voice. Okay, so hopefully that'll make.
Well, thank you. I know if the career in radio doesn't work out, there's a career in a 900 number. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Hey, you know what you can do? You can have a 900 number. You can both talk real sexy to people and give them a psychic reading and charge them twice as much for a dual service.
There you go.
The psychic sex hotline. This is a new. Oh my god! The problem is the other person on the other end of the line will have to be the one reading their own palm or doing something with it. Okay, thank you very much, Wendy.
You're right. Very welcome, Benny. My pleasure.
Yeah, I like to end the shows in a gutter, and I think I've just achieved it. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And the archives will be located at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, and GorillaMedia.co.nz. I'll also be sending the show to Wendy so she can upload it to her YouTube channel and her website and link through and do all stuffs together. And also there's like a one-minute little thingamajig that Wendy has made for me to help encourage other people to solicit donations and what have you to support what I'm doing here. So support her, support me, support everybody that matters, and by goodness, everybody, you've got to promise yourself and promise me, don't buy into the enemy propaganda. When they're telling you you're losing, that is when you are closest to victory, and that is why they are lying to you to stop you in your tracks. Don't stop. Keep going. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.